Good morning. Happy New Year to everyone. Welcome to our service here this morning at Water Lane Church, and welcome to anyone listening to the service later on the recording, especially our friends at Carr's Court. Welcome to anyone who's visiting for the first time. Please join us for coffee, which will be served in the coffee lounge after the service. The children will be going out to Sunday Kids after a second hymn today. And the only other notice is a reminder that there will be no film club tonight. It's going to be next Sunday. So I'd like to welcome Phil Maltby from Poynton Methodist Church to lead our service following the introit from the choir. Thank you.
Good morning, and a happy new year to you all, and welcome to worship. A couple of just words of explanation. You may have heard the introduction that I'm now at Poynton Methodist Church, so technically I'm a visiting preacher and no longer in the Bramhall and Withenshaw circuit. Secondly, this is not the result of what my wife did to me over Christmas. I have a fungal growth which will be sorted as soon as possible. And thirdly, I hope you all had the Christmas and the New Year that you wanted. My wife tells people that we had a quiet Christmas. But on Christmas Day, we were with six other adults and four children of the age four and under, two of whom had lightsabers. How on earth that can be a quiet Christmas, I don't know. I'll pause for a moment's silence as we prepare for service. I have a few words from Psalm 29, the Authentic Youth Bible, and then we'll have two short prayers before our first hymn. Praise the Lord, you heavenly angels. Praise the Lord's glory and power. Praise the Lord and honour his name. Worship the Lord in all his holy beauty. Let us pray. Jesus, we gather here today to meet with you. In word, in spirit, and in fellowship. Gather us, inspire us, be present with us as we worship you, and then send us out to see you at work in the world around us. Amen. And the collect for today. Eternal Father, at the baptism of Jesus, you revealed him to be your Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Keep all who are born of water and the Spirit faithful to their calling as your people. We ask this in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first hymn from Singing the Faith is number 34. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bow down before him, his glory proclaim. Singing the Faith, number 34.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are so amazing. When we are lonely, you promise to be with us. When we're being difficult, you are patient with us. When we feel upset because of what someone else may have said or done, you are gentle with us. When we feel like jumping for joy, or when we feel like hiding away in a corner, when we feel sad, or when we're full of excitement, you share in everything that we feel. Lord, you are our Saviour, but you are also our very special friend who never lets us down, but guides us in the way that you want us to live. Help us always to give you the thanks and the praise that you truly deserve. Lord Jesus, we're so sorry for those times that we've let you down, for the ways we've hurt each other, and for the chances that we've missed to show your love and your care. Forgive us, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to start over again. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord, our Saviour, and our friend. Amen. How many of the children are hiding right at the back? You wouldn't like to come and sit at the front for a moment, would you? Just for a couple of minutes. Did you know that today you are going to go and study the same things that we're going to talk about in here? And we're going to talk about John the Baptist. Now, I don't know if you know anything about John the Baptist, but first of all, he was the cousin of Jesus. Secondly, he decided that he didn't want to live in a town because there was too much noise. He couldn't concentrate. There were too many distractions. So he went off to live in the wilderness. Now, he didn't like designer clothes, so he decided that he would take the skin of a dead camel and scrape all the naughty bits off it. And it must have been a bit smelly, but he decided he was going to wear that. And he put a belt around to keep it in place. And do you know what he ate? Can anybody tell me what he ate in the wilderness? Any ideas? Cockroaches. Say again for me.
Cockroaches.
Close. Close. That is very close. Certainly they were crunchy. They were locusts. And did you know that if you shop around, you can actually buy chocolate-covered locusts in this country to eat? Now, I thought I might bring some, but I changed my mind. So he supplemented the locust with honey, with wild honey. And he drank from the streams and he washed in the streams. Now, the reason he went out there, I've mentioned already, was to get away from society, to get away from all the noise, all the distractions. He wanted to listen to God in private. He wanted to be able to talk to God and to pick up God's message and to spread that message. And there's a lesson there for us. There are occasions when we need to put down our toys and our books and our iPads and our iPhones and turn off our computers and the television and spend just a few quiet moments with our Lord Jesus, talking and listening, praying, saying thank you and asking. And I think today, when you leave us, you're going to continue looking at John the Baptist. So thank you for listening. Could I ask the stewards to wait upon us for our gifts, please? I don't know why I walked all the way back up there when I've got to come here again, but... Lord, we bring you these, our gifts of money, but more importantly, we bring you the rest of our lives to be used in your service in the way that you choose. Amen. Our second hymn is from Singing the Faith, number 59. Lord, the light of your love is shining, in the midst of the darkness shining. Number 59. Thank you so very much for those that were clapping and pulling a few shapes. I don't have a sense of rhythm in any part of my body, so thank you very much for doing that. I'm going to go to the door, I'm going to say a prayer for the children, and then as you come out, not too hard, a high five please, but not too hard. I'm a very elderly, fragile man. Dear Lord, we thank you for the young people that have come to our church today. We thank you so much that they want to come and to learn about you and your ways, your light and your life, and that you will bring them the fullness of life. We ask you that you bless them each and every day of the coming weeks and months, and be with them now and their teachers as they go to learn about you. Amen. I'm going to have to get really low for that one there, aren't I? That's not bad. That was a good one. That was even better. Not too hard. Ah! I'm really low now. Here we go. Brilliant. Yeah, excellent. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you. I think it's time for a lie down. And at this point, as a reflection on yesterday, which was the Epiphany, we have the choir with their anthem, We Three Kings. Have I got it right? Thank you very much. Thank you so very much for that. Now, I didn't check before I started the service whether or not we have people to read today. Yes, we have. So could we have our reading, please, from the Epistle? Sorry, from the Acts of the Apostles.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 19. Starting to read at verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues, and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them.
Thank you very much. Our third hymn is number 175, Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. 175. That we have our reading from Mark, please. Thank you.
The second reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came up from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, and I am well pleased with you."
Amen. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask that in and through the presence of your Holy Spirit, You enable us to search your word this morning. You enable us to take away the message that you want us to hold in our hearts. And you enable us to become more and more like our Lord Jesus. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. We're reminded by those words that Jesus has always been here, that Jesus came to live amongst us, to give us true life, and to save our souls. The passage from Mark's Gospel reminds us that it was Jesus' cousin John the Baptist who came to prepare the way for our Lord Jesus, for our Messiah. At Poynton Methodist Church, the minister, the Reverend John Wiseman, doesn't preach from the pulpit. He comes down amongst the congregation and he asks questions and he points at you. So he'll come up and he'll go, "Phil, what's the answer to this?" As soon as that happens, my brain shrinks and I seize up. I thought I might try it here this morning. But maybe not. But just answer this question. Do you think we've heard an awful lot about John the Baptist since the beginning of Advent? When I told my wife what the reading was today, she said, "Not John the Baptist again. Whatever are you going to say?" And I thought, and I thought. And I know that we'd heard quite a lot about it. We've heard that he told people that there was somebody more powerful than him coming, one that would baptize with the Holy Spirit and not with water. And we saw how John desperately tried to reflect the light away from himself and always pointed to Jesus. And on the third Sunday in Advent, we were reminded that Jesus is the light of the world and that he chooses to reflect his light through his followers. That's through us. Reflect his light through us to an unbelieving world. So when I looked at the gospel reading, I thought, whatever do I do now? Can I say things that haven't already been said? And when you're on a circuit, when you're going from church to church, you don't know what other people have said. And I know that at Poynton we've had John the Baptist at least three Sundays since the beginning of Advent. So I thought I'd try and look at it in a different way. And I found a number of questions and a number of challenges. First of all, it's said, isn't it, that Mark's Gospel was the first to be written. Although Matthew appears at the beginning of the Old Testament, Mark's was the first to be written. And that both Luke and Matthew either were directed or guided or copied chunks of that Gospel. So why is it then that both Luke and Matthew talk about the birth of Jesus, but Mark pitches in with John the Baptist when Jesus was about 30 years of age? Why is that? Well, I'm told that Mark was writing the gospel whilst living in Rome. And so his audience, his target audience, were the Roman Christians. Now, in Rome, it was usual for a very important person to be announced before they came into sight, before they entered the room or entered the town. So they would have an announcer or a herald. So the Roman Christians always expected people of great importance to be announced. So here we find that John's mission was to be our Lord Jesus' herald, the announcer, to announce the coming of the most important person in our history or our known history. Roman Christians would have been more interested in the person that's been announced than they would have been in the birth of a baby. So Mark's idea was, hit the target. And secondly, and we've spoken about this with the children, why did John choose to live in the desert, in the wilderness? Why didn't he live in a town where there were bound to be more people? Well, as you heard from what I said to the children, he wanted to get away from towns. He wanted to get away from society. He didn't want the distractions. He wanted his focus to be on listening to God and then proclaiming the message that he'd been appointed to give. So he lived out in the wilderness. He also wanted to capture the undivided attention of people. So by the very fact that they had to go out to him, they also were away from the town. They were away from distractions. He also wanted to symbolize a sharp break with the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. Those religious leaders who preferred their luxurious homes and their fine clothes and didn't actually really get on with God's work. God had appointed the people of Israel to spread his love and his message, which they never quite seemed to get round to doing. And also, John wanted to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy that he would be a voice of one calling in the desert to prepare the way for the Lord. So my next question was, whilst John was appointed by God to prepare the way of our Lord, why was his ministry of baptism considered to be so far out, way out of the ordinary? Why was it considered that way? When I looked at the commentaries, it told me that the Jews often baptized non-Jews who had converted to Judaism, but to baptize a Jew as a sign of repentance was a radical departure from Jewish custom. John was actually challenging each person as an individual to confess their sins. He wanted them to repent. His baptism with water demonstrated repentance, humility, and a willingness to turn from sin. John's baptism with water prepared each individual to receive Christ's message and was the beginning of their spiritual journey with our Lord Jesus. My next question, which suddenly I thought was quite a natural one, if John baptized with water and we were baptized with water, how is our Christian baptism any different to the baptism that John was giving? And if we look back through the Old Testament, we see that even the greatest of prophets had to confess their sins. We see that in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and in Ezekiel. They had to confess their sinfulness and their need for repentance. But we know that Jesus was without sin. So why did Jesus need to confess? Yeah, I'm going to have to apologize to you because I've actually just mixed up two points. I was on Christian baptism and now I'm talking about Jesus' baptism. Let me go back to Jesus' baptism and say to you that he was without sin. He had been tempted like us, but he'd never given in to temptation. So I'm looking at the point of why Jesus needed to be baptized. And the commentaries do reinforce that he didn't need forgiveness, he didn't need to repent. But they do say that it was a signal of his mission. It was the start of the mission to bring the message of salvation to all people. It was a way of showing support for John's ministry, John his cousin. It was a way of identifying with us and our humanness and our sin. We know, don't we, that Jesus was both fully divine and fully human. And we also know that he wanted to identify with us. And finally, he was baptized because he wanted to give us an example to follow. He wanted to show us the way that we should go. So let me move on now to that question that got through into my head about why we are baptized with water and how is that any different? And why did Paul feel the need to baptize the disciples after John had already baptized them? Paul's explanation in that reading was this. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is, in Jesus. Paul confirms that John was preparing the people for the coming of the Messiah and for the message of salvation. And it's also evident, isn't it, that at that time, the people wouldn't have known Jesus. They wouldn't have known anything about his ministry. They wouldn't have known anything about his message. To get it clear in my head, I went to the Methodist Worship Handbook and had a look at what it says about our actual baptismal service. And it says this: in this sacrament, we celebrate the life of Jesus laid down for us, the Holy Spirit poured out on us, and the living water offered to us. God claims and cleanses us, rescues us from sin, and raises us to new life. So that tells you that our baptism is different because we know all about Jesus. We know all about the Holy Spirit. We know about the gift of the Holy Spirit. We know that from the day that we declare Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how many of you had blinding lights and flashing lights and loud noises when you declared Jesus as Lord. I didn't. Mine has been a lifelong, gradual, gentle process. But I truly believe that the Holy Spirit lives within me. I have found on many, many occasions when I'm facing difficulties, when I'm feeling low, when I'm feeling down, that I pray and I feel the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not protect me from difficult times, but the Holy Spirit does get me through and helps me to come out the other side stronger. So I hope that through my exploration and some of the questions that I really should have fired at you and not answered from here, I feel that that helped me. So those are the questions, but where were the challenges? How did I feel challenged by that reading? Well, whenever you read about repentance, I think there's always a challenge there. Many, many years ago, I had a discussion with my mentor when I was training to be a local preacher, and I won't tell you his name, but we disagreed over repentance. He said that repentance was merely saying sorry. My understanding of repentance is that it's not just saying sorry, it's turning your life around and going back to Jesus and living alongside Jesus with the Holy Spirit within. It's more than just saying sorry. So I felt, repent. Where do I need to repent? Do I spend enough time with Jesus? Do I spend enough time working at developing a deeper and a more intimate relationship with our Lord? Do I spend enough time reading my Bible and exploring the commentaries? Do I spend enough time praying? When we look at John the Baptist, he had this reputation for straight talking. And he didn't hesitate when speaking God's truth. And he probably upset quite a few people. But in terms of straight talking, then the question came to me, the challenge, do I talk enough about my faith? Do I share my faith enough with the people I meet? Do I grab the opportunities to tell people that Jesus loves me and that I love Jesus? Do I tell them enough about how Jesus has turned my life around? But if you do talk about Jesus, you have to keep it simple. And you have to rely on the Holy Spirit for the words. And you need to speak the truth. Heaven forbid that you would want to be accused of spreading fake news, as somebody so often mentions in the press these days. Anything that he disagrees with is fake news. We should always speak the truth about Jesus and what he has done for us. And I thought, when I do speak about it, I would want my words and actions to reflect the light of the Messiah and not to promote myself in any way, and never to claim that I have the absolute truth and therefore not listen to other people who perhaps express their faith slightly differently. And I would never ever, I hope, claim to be better than anybody else. I was reading an article in the Roots magazine by the Reverend Tom Ambrose, a retired priest, and he was talking on this theme of repentance. And he challenges us to look at our lifestyles and how that might affect the environment. He reminds us about the final episode of Blue Planet 2. I don't know if you've watched Blue Planet 2, but you will recall David Attenborough was showing pictures and talking about the amount of plastic in our oceans. Plastic floating, plastic on the seabed, plastic affecting sea life in every possible way, in a detrimental way. And Tom Ambrose points out to us that in the UK, we have a particular problem with plastic. We've been exporting our plastic waste to China, some 15 million tonnes a year. From the start of the new year, China no longer wants our plastic waste. So the question then is, what are we going to do about it? And the question is, what are we going to do about it? And are we challenged, therefore, to consider what we buy and can we avoid plastic that can't be got rid of? Plastic that's difficult to recycle. Is there something there for each and every one of us? He goes on to remind us of the problems of diesel engines. You may recall the government promoting schemes for everybody to buy a diesel vehicle. And now suddenly, they're more dangerous than cars. Nothing to do with the amount of CO2 that goes into the air. It's apparently the amount of nitrous oxide and fine particles that get into people's lungs and cause real problems, even death. But the government, didn't they try to promote and suggest that we should all buy diesel at one time? And then he goes on to talk about the problems of global warming. I don't know how many of you ever saw the video or read the book called The Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore, but Al Gore, who was once running for the American presidency, and people thought he'd actually got in until there was a recount, he promoted the idea of people will not accept that there's a problem with global warming. Isn't it strange that Donald Trump is again saying there are no problems with global warming? And isn't that more to do with the fact that in reality he's a businessman and he doesn't want to upset the American business system? He doesn't want people shouting at him, although he's never going to stop that, is he? So we've got this problem. There is a reduction in the amount of the polar ice and there is an increase in storms. And how many times have you read in the past about storms in the UK that cause once-in-a-lifetime flooding? And how many times since have you seen a recurrence of that flooding? So there's something else for us to consider there. Dr. Ambrose does warn that there will always be someone who will deny the need to change or the will to dismiss the ways in which we are polluting our oceans and our atmosphere. He calls upon us to look at it quite seriously and to consider what we can do, maybe at a very low level, what can we do as individuals to help resolve some of those problems. There may be people in here disagree with his view, and that's quite acceptable. And it's up to each individual to respond to such words in the way they consider appropriate, in the way they consider they manage. But don't you think that this is a good time of year to consider how we live and how we express the love of our Lord Jesus? Not just in the way that we talk to each other, the way we talk to our families, the way we talk to strangers, but in the way that we shop, in the way that we consume, in the way that we dispose of waste. There are lots of things for us to finish about. I want to close at what might seem to be quite a simple level. I'd like to read to you, if you will bear with me, a meditation written by Nick Fawcett that relates to John the Baptist and his fellows that were baptizing the Israelis all those years ago, the Israelites, in the River Jordan. They came in their droves, hundreds arriving each day, eager to confess their faults and make amends. There was no pretense, no hiding their mistakes. They knew they'd done wrong and longed to start again. So I did what I could, baptizing them as God had commanded for the forgiveness of sins. And were they pardoned? Of course, for ours is a God who delights to show mercy, whose nature is always to forgive. But a new beginning? Nothing I could do to give them that, nor anything they might do either. For it takes something more, a new heart and a right spirit, change deep within. Just imagine what that means, no more striving on our own, struggling to do what can't be done, no more trying to earn what we can never deserve, but God taking the initiative, accepting what we are and directing what we shall become. It's been our hope, our goal, our dream for so many years, foretold by the prophets, yet always out of reach. but not anymore. For Christ has come, the Redeemer of the world who makes all things new. I wash with water, he with the Holy Spirit. I cleanse the body, he the soul. We can really change, truly start again. Don't settle for less. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we cannot thank you enough for giving your life for us and in so doing, forgiving all our sins. We thank you for the powerful message of the resurrection that points us towards life eternal with you. Lord, we yearn to change our ways. We try to do so, but for all our best intentions, we cannot do it alone. Our spirit says one thing, our flesh another. Time and again, weakness causing us to fail. Forgive our lack of faith, and in your mercy, write your law of love on our hearts, so that we may know your will and delight to do it. Amen. We sing again, number 398. There's a spirit in the air telling Christians everywhere, praise the love that Christ revealed. 398. Come to our prayers of intercession, and during those prayers there will be moments of silence when we can bring our own thoughts to God. There's also a response. Let me remind you what my wife says about responses. She cannot stand responses. She says the problem is that you focus on the response and you lose the essence of the prayer. I'll tell you the response, but it's entirely up to you whether you do respond or not. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, could you please respond with, hear our prayer? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. We rejoice in your presence and your love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have made us, you have redeemed us, and you continue to guide us. We remember in your presence all who have been prepared for baptism, for confirmation, or for membership, and those seeking to know the gifts of the Spirit. We pray for our ministers, our local preachers, and our worship leaders within the Bramall and Withenshaw circuit. And we pray for all those who are being prepared for ordination and for leading worship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are starting new work or new studies, for those that are going into exams at this time of the year in universities. We pray for those who are newly married or newly engaged, and for all who are testing their vocation. And we pray for all those people who are seeking to bring peace to our troubled world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for our homes and our loved ones, for our godparents and our godchildren, and we ask, Lord, your blessing upon them. We remember all those who come from broken homes or are suffering from broken relationships. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for all who've lost their way, those who are troubled and distressed. We pray that they may come to know your love and your care. And we remember also those who are ill, whether at home or in hospital. And we bring before you all who are struggling at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise you, Lord, for giving us life and life eternal. We remember especially today friends and loved ones who have enriched our lives but are now departed from this world. We commend them all to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Before our final hymn, can I just thank everybody that's been supportive in worship today. So thank you very much over there, the musicians and the choir. Thank you for those on the desk and those that prepared. And thank you for praying with me beforehand and the stewards that picked up the offertory. Thank you so very much. Our final hymn, Have You Heard God's Voice? Has Your Heart Been Stirred? 662 in Singing the Faith. 662. Living Lord, we thank you that we are called to be a community of your new creation, bound together by your great love. Help us to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit in all we do this week, and help us to tell the story of life that is found in you, our Saviour Jesus Christ. May the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us for all time to come. Amen.